Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 7? I'd like to read verse 14 down to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 7, if you'd like to follow along with me. Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." I've entitled this message, "Are You a Roman 7 Sinner?" There are not many of them. Are you a Roman 7 sinner? Someone once said to me, "We need to get out of Romans 7 and into Romans 8. And I wish I could have replied this: "You can't get out of a place you've never been." You see, if you're in Romans 7, you're in Romans 8. And if you're in Romans 8, you're in Romans 7. These two cannot be separated. I've even heard of some who have maintained that Paul was speaking of his experience before God saved him. This is how he was before he was saved in Romans chapter 7. Now, the person who holds that position, number one, is either not saved, or number two, if you give them the benefit of the doubt, they're in such a backslidden condition, so hard-hearted, so given over to the spirit of the Laodiceans, rich, increased with goods, and having need of nothing, that they've lost all discernment and cannot see themselves in this light and are at the verge of being spit out of the mouth of Christ for the spirit of Laodicea. You see, this passage of Scripture that I just read actually is the true portrait of the holy man. The man of Romans 7 is the holy man. Now, I have four goals in bringing you this message. One, I want to glorify God. Number two, I want to clearly state what this text actually says. I don't want to hold back out of fear that someone will use what I'm saying to justify their sinful lifestyle. I realize some will do that, but some will hang themselves with a rope too, won't they? Do we stop the manufacturing of rope in order to prevent people from hanging themselves? No. They're going to find some other way to terminate their life if that's what they're about. I want to tell the truth concerning what this passage of Scripture actually says. May God give us the grace to hear.
Yes.
Thirdly, I want every believer to enjoy the full assurance of their salvation in the very teeth of their sin. And I want those who are not saved to know they're not saved. You see, if you ever find out you're not saved, that's when you'll cry for mercy.
Yes.
In verse 14, Paul begins with these words, "For we know." The Christian is someone who knows something. This is the same "we know" as in Romans 3:19, where he said, "We know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world stand guilty before God." Every Christian knows that. When Paul said in Romans 7:18, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." Every Christian knows that. When Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." They may not know, but we do. A Christian is one who knows something. He's been taught of God. And what he knows, he knows. "For we know that the law is spiritual," Paul says, "but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now, this is my experience right now. I'm glad the Lord receives sinners.
Yes.
Because I'm someone who is sold as a slave under the dominion of sin. Now, what do I mean by that? We know that the law is spiritual, it's perfect, it reflects God's holy character. I love the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Nothing's to be put before God because He's so altogether glorious. The second commandment regarding idolatry: "The Lord is so glorious, there's nobody to compare Him to. There's none like Him. To make an image is to bring Him down and humanize Him and make Him like us." The commandment concerning taking His name in vain: "The Lord is so altogether glorious and holy that one ought to be damned simply to not use the proper reverence for His name." Remembrance of the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This thing of rest, rest, rest. Not doing anything. Resting. The commandment regarding honoring your father and mother in all God-ordained authority. The commandment concerning not killing. Not killing men's bodies and not killing their characters by slander and innuendo. The commandment to not commit adultery, whether physical or spiritual. The command to not steal. That's more than shoplifting. Robbing glory from God. The command concerning not lying. Isn't a lie a horrible thing? The commandment concerning not coveting. The law is spiritual, Paul says, but I am carnal. I am fleshly, sold under sin, dominated by sin as a slave is to its master. Now let me say this. If you believe you have kept one commandment one time, you don't even have a clue regarding God's holy law. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, if Romans chapter 7 verse 14 does not describe you, you are not a Romans 7 sinner. I repeat, are you a Romans 7 sinner? Verse 15. Paul says, "For that which I do, I allow not. I don't approve of it. I don't know it. What I would, I would. I would not sin. I would be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. I would never promote myself again. What I would, it doesn't happen. I do not do it. But what I hate, that is exactly what I do." I repeat, are you a Romans 7 sinner? Paul says in verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." I would not sin. All I do is sin. The law condemns it. Just and holy is His name. God's law is good. It's glorious. I consent unto it that it's good, and it's good in my condemnation if that's what it takes place. It's good. You believe that? Verse 17. "Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Paul says it's not me, it's him. I didn't do it, he did it. Is he saying anything less? You see, this speaks of the two natures that are in the believer. There is a dual, D-U-E-L, between the dual, D-U-A-L, natures of the believer. You see, we're born into this world with a sin nature. It's called total depravity. Total depravity. Now, I think there are two scriptures that express just what that means. Here's the first one. You, to what our Lord said to some Pharisees, "You will not come to me that you might have life." That is total depravity. Don't get any more wicked or evil than that. You will not come to me that you might have life. And here's the second scripture that expresses the inability that comes with total depravity. "No man can come to me." He lacks the ability to come to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now there's the expression of me and you. So evil that we won't come to Christ. So given over to inability that we can't come to Christ. And that is our crime. Now, here's God's testimony. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw." Now, how God sees things is how they are. Amen? "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil." Continually. Non-stop. Now, when we're born again, we're given a new nature. Born of God, a nature that, according to Scriptures, cannot sin. Lacks the ability to sin. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He can't sin any more than God does. You see, that nature is born of God. Birth of God. And that nature cannot. It lacks the ability to sin. Hence we have this battle going on that Paul speaks of in Galatians chapter 5 verse 17, where he says the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You'd never have another vain thought. You'd never have another sinful thought. You'd never do another sinful action. You would, but you can't. You would. Oh, if everybody in this room knew what you'd do, you'd run out of here in shame. The things that you would do. The things that you've done. But you can't carry them out. Can't carry them out. You've got a holy nature. It won't let that happen. And this old nature never gets better. Progressive sanctification is a lie.
Amen.
To speak of the old nature becoming better, quite frankly, is a denial of the two separate natures.
Yes.
You don't believe in two separate natures, you will believe in progressive sanctification, and you will lie to yourself to make yourself think you're getting better when in reality you're not. Now, if somebody says, I cannot see two natures or war within me, what's because you've only got one nature? It takes two natures to see two natures. Paul is giving the experience of one who has been born again and consequently has these two natures. The one of the first birth and the one of the second birth. So think of what he says when he says in verse 17, now then, it's no more I that do it. It's not that new nature. But it's him. It's that old nature. What I think is very interesting, it's the new man only that owns the sins of the old man. Old man can't really even see it. Takes a new nature. Verse 18. Paul says, for I know. There ain't no doubt about this. That in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do you know that? That in your flesh, there is absolutely nothing but sin. You're a sinner. You know what that means? That means all you do is sin. That's it. That means you cannot not sin. That means you can't look down your nose in moral superiority at anybody.
Yeah. That's right.
And you know you have no claims on God. That's a sinner. I know. Ain't no doubt about this. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. He says, for to will is present with me. I would be without sin. To will is present with me. You see, every believer has been made willing. To will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, sometimes I mess up. He didn't say, I don't always make it. He said, how to perform that which is good. I find not. Now there is the man with no guile. This is a man that's being honest. This man is not practicing the deceit of religion. He's that man described in Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceit. This only is honesty. He repeats himself in verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I remember hearing Tim James preaching from this passage of Scripture once. He said, would you buy a car off this fellow? I would. Verse 20 now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it. It's the sin that dwells in that old man. That's always there. You see, there's never a time when a believer cannot cry, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The new man always believes. The old man never believes. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now, Paul says in verse 21, I find then a law. That when I would do good, evil is right there present with me. And there's never a time in my experience when that's not so. Even right now, while I'm preaching to you, I feel His presence. I feel Him breathing on me. He's right there. When I would do good, evil is present with me. And then Paul says in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I find pleasure in the law of God after the inward man. I love God's law. I love everything about it. It's holy, it's just. And the only way you can delight in the law of God is if you're not under it. And if you've kept it. See, I don't try to keep the law. Kept it. Kept it perfectly. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Problem with the law. Problem with me. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You're looking a law keeper. It's only when you see the law fulfilled in Christ, you've obeyed the law, that you can delight in the law of God after the inward man. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. The believer has two distinct natures funneled into one body that hate one another. The holy nature hates the sin nature. The sin nature hates the holy nature. And there is war. You know, I didn't have a war going on until the Lord saved me. Somebody says, well, I don't have this war. Well, it's because you only have one nature then. Now, what is captivity? Captivity is a prisoner of war. And he's in jail. And he can't get out. Can't you stop your sin? You ought to. Amen. I believe I ought to. Do you? I'm still in that jail cell. Now, that's Paul talking. He's talking about his present experience. The only freedom there is. Paul is expressing his utter dissatisfaction with sin. The only freedom there is to not sin. And as long as I'm in this body of sin, I'm in a prison cell that I cannot get out of. I feel enslaved by it, captured by it, locked up in it, and I can't escape. Are you a Romans 7 sinner? Would this describe your experience? Now Paul says in verse 24, "O wretched man that I was." No, not at all. "O wretched man that I am." You see, the new man, the holy nature, is the one that owns the sins of this old man and is made miserable by him. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, what he's alluding to is in Roman prisons, they would take a dead body and chain it to a prisoner. And they would be going back and forth with this dead, rotting, corrupt body. And that's exactly what Paul says he's experiencing with his old nature. "I'm carrying around this dead, stinking, filthy, wicked, decaying body."
Yes.
No wonder he said, "O wretched man that I am." Now, Charles Spurgeon made this statement, and this helped me a great deal. He said, "Someone who really believes in responsibility." I'm responsible to obey God perfectly right now. John said, "These things I write unto you that you sin not." Make it your intention, your purpose, your goal to never sin again. Someone who believes in responsibility, really does believe in responsibility, and he really does believe in inability, he's a wretched man. He is a wretched man. Now, a legalist doesn't believe in inability. He's fine. The licentious man doesn't believe in responsibility. He's fine. But that one who believes in his heart in both, he cries out, "O wretched man that I not was, but am." I feel it more acutely now than I ever have. See it more clearly now than I ever have. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I need rescue. Who shall deliver me? I need rescued. I need saved. You know a prayer that I pray, I reckon more than any other prayer? Lord, save me.
Yes.
Save me.
Amen.
I'm calling upon your name. Save me by who you are. Save me by your sovereign will. Save me. Save me by your justice. Save me by your holiness. Save me by your grace. Save me by all your glorious attributes. Save me. Now look what Paul says in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love the way he said that. He didn't make any other kind of comment about it. He just said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, salvation is of the Lord. And the only way a Romans 7 sinner can be saved is if God elected him. If Christ actually died for him and put away his sins. If God's grace is irresistible and invincible and won't take no for an answer. That overcomes him. That receives him as a sinner. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And if they're preserved in order to persevere. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think Paul was almost afraid to say anything else. What would he say? But in saying that, he said it all, didn't he? So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now that is not an excuse to sin. That is not an encouragement to sin. But it certainly is an explanation as to why me and you are the way we are, isn't it? Are you a Romans 7 sinner? Beloved, if you are, you're a saved sinner. Amen.
Well, boy, they fellas said an awful lot about sin tonight, didn't they? But they told us where the remedy was. That was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I'm one that Christ receives, and I'm a Romans 7 sinner. I certainly am that. Oh my. Aren't you grateful for that? I'm grateful that. Yeah. I'm thankful for it.